that'd be helpful and educational for your Christian studies or your walk through life with Christ. Before we get started, start off with a prayer. And before we get started, let every heart be prayerful. Most gracious, most wonderful Father, we come to you tonight, dear Lord, just to hear your holy and righteous word and not my word, dear Lord. Move me out of the way. I'm just your instrument, O Heavenly Father. Move me, O Heavenly Father. Let me not stand in your way. Let me be your tool tonight, just as you have used Jonah during times past, that a word may be said, that we may say, thus said the Lord, or praise be your holy and righteous name. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight's scripture will come from John chapter 6. That's only 2 minutes. Wow. John chapter 6. I don't have much information. I don't have anything to say, to be honest with you. I'm just asking the Lord to guide me on this one. I really am. I'm really trying to move myself out of the way and be humble and be obedient and let him do this one, because I need his help on this one. I really do. Even though I had over a month to study for this, which is kind of like a shame. You know, you can read doctrine, you can read commentaries and things like that, but when you look into the Bible and you review it for yourself and let the Holy Spirit use you, then you would get a different interpretation instead of what the commentary would tell you. So I'm going to have to give King James credit, and I'm going to have to give Bible Hub credit, and all the Bibles that I have been reading for over a month about this particular chapter. Plus, when I first started out in the ministry, this was one of my first sermon that I gave, and I remember some things that I said, and you know, sometimes you have to go back and you have to eat that, and I had to ask the Lord to forgive me for things that, when you first start out, you're using your own interpretation instead of letting the Lord, the Holy Spirit, use you. But without further ado, we're going to go ahead and go forward. Scripture reading tonight will come from John, the Gospel of John. Some people call him St. John. Chapter 6. We're going to start at that very first verse. And we're going to go down to verse 14. That should be the end of it. And it reads as follows. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Notice the key word, buy. He said, buy. Okay. Verse 6, and this And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that each one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which has five barley loaves, and two small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there were much grass in the place. So the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fish as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Last verse, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that the prophet that should come unto the world, And for a topic, I'm just going to stay with the King James Version, but I might add a little bit. Jesus fed the 5,000. Believe it. Tonight, we're in a story of more of a great, great sign and miracle that Jesus had done while he was in the wilderness. He was in the wilderness around the Sea of Galilee, another name for it. They renamed it Tiberias. Herod did that because he was giving a tribute to Caesar. He was trying to appease Caesar. In other words, if you're a captive and you have a little bit of power and you want to keep your landlord or your lord off of you, you want to probably try to give him something so he won't put too much pressure on you. So Herod was always trying to build something to help make himself look good in front of the Romans. And at the same time, it kind of like kept the violence down in the land of Israel. But that is why the name was renamed, the Sea of Galilee was renamed Tiberias. Now, John's gospel is the only one, from my understanding, is the only gospel that identifies the Sea of Galilee as Tiberias, as renaming it. So, with that being said, you must understand the name Tiberias. He was a Greek emperor, so that's why he named the sea of Galilee after him. That's why it was renamed. It was renamed after the emperor of Tiberias. And during this time, a great multitude, going on to verse 2, a great multitude followed Jesus. During my study, I found out three or four things why they followed Jesus. One reason was because they seen all the miracles that he had performed. He healed the sick. And as you heard earlier, he healed the disease. He also caused the blind man to see. So he was continuously working, doing his Father's work at all times. There was really no rest time unless Jesus decided that he was going to go to the mountains and get away from the people and try to get some rest. But they followed him anyway. A large company, large multitude of crowd. Now, as we go on, the disciples came to Jesus while he was in the mountain, and it was an opportunity for Jesus to start teaching. He would pull his disciples over to the side, not only pull them over to the side and teach them, but as the multitude came, he would also teach the multitude as well with different verses. But as he was teaching them about the kingdom of God and about how the Father is and how they should obey the Father, how they should respect the Father, Jesus continued to preach throughout his time here on this earth. There was never a moment that he wasn't teaching something in the Bible. Now, you may think that this particular miracle is about feeding 5,000. Yes, it is, but there are some things in there that we can learn from the 5,000, how he taught and what he was trying to do. In John chapter 6, we notice that two of his disciples, John is telling the story, but there's two of his disciples, Philip and Andrew. First time they had ever been mentioned together in the Gospels, in the four Gospels. First time they have been mentioned together in the four Gospels. Now, to understand this, Andrew was one of the first two disciples that left John the Baptist and followed Jesus and John. And they were all from the same region as, I don't have my map up. They was all from the same region of Galilee called a city called Bethsaida, which means house of fishing. It was from that particular region, house of fishing. Now, as we go on in the story, this is a teaching moment. This is an opportunity for the disciples because in the other Gospels, and I want to say, I'm just going to label, just put them out there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, mainly Luke, talks about this story in more detail than what John does. John just give you straight to the point. The other Gospels, they add a little bit of color to it. Let's say, for instance, Jesus told the people to sit down, told the disciples, say, Have them sit down. All right? The other gospel will tell you that they had them to sit down in 50s, 100s, so on and so on. 50s and 100s, that's all they said. 50s and 100s. So they had to go out there and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 100. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 50. And they sat the men down in groups. And they also described the grass that they were sitting in. They said the grass was green. John just said it was grass. Not the type, not the other type that you're thinking of. Okay? Not that type. The grass that animal graze on and things of that nature. And if you look at the story, if you follow the story a little bit closer in John, John tells you that, okay, it was during the Jewish Passover that give you a particular season and time and month of this particular event. It was the Jewish month of Abib, or they renamed it Nisan. And it was because when God, with his mighty hand, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he gave them specific instruction on what to do for when they were slaves in Egypt. For when they came out, this is what you need to do. You need to, it's called what you call the Passover. And before they even did the Passover, I don't know if you remember, the Ten Commandments on there a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you remember, the purpose of the Passover was that they would sacrifice an unblemished lamb, which is symbolic of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he was sacrificed. We do what we call the memorial of him, or the a celebration of the Passover. We had that last week. We call it Easter. I don't know where that Easter come from, but I call it the resurrection. So anyway, Passover. Moses sacrificed unblemished lamb, and what happened was he used the blood, drained the blood from the animal. We know that we're not supposed to eat blood from the animal. They wasn't supposed to eat blood from the animal. And what he did, he smeared it over all over the doorposts of the Israelite. That way, when the destroyer came, he would pass over them. He would pass over. So that was the time and season. It was called Abib, and they renamed it Nisan. I had a calendar. I still have it. I didn't make any copies, but I can give you, if you want a copy later, I can give you all the months of the year for the Jews and or the Hebrews. Now, so we know that's the season. That's the beginning of the season. So the season is April to July time frame. When I was talking about the green grass, that means that in that pasture, in that particular place, that means it was spring. Everything was fresh. It was pure green. And Jesus asked them to sit down. And then he said, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw the company or multitude, he, in the other scriptures or in the other gospel, he had compassion. They were like sheep going astray that had no leader. They were sheep without a shepherd. And he looked out and he seen the multitude. And when the Lord see us, that's how he see us, as innocent, young. We're not naive, but he see us as someone needing leadership. And that's where we are today in this time now. We do not have the leadership in the right particular place and at the right time as we have it today. We have a lot of sheep going astray that are lost, have no idea where they're going. have no idea about salvation, have no idea how to get there. But I want you to believe that the Lord is going to do something to get those that are His back into the fold. Now, as we go on, Philip, on verse 7, Philip answered him when Jesus said, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And the other gospel says that Lord, we have barley loaves and five fish. In the other gospel it says, Jesus tells them to go out and see what you have. But here in John, Jesus asks a particular question to a particular disciple. And I want you to recognize this. He asked it to Philip. Why Philip? I'm glad you asked that question. Philip was the type of individual who asked the Lord, "Show us the Father." That's scripture. Amen? Show us the Father. So he is, the Lord is, this is a teaching moment. This is an opportunity for Philip. Because prior to this, in the other gospel, it states that they had just returned off their mission. They just returned off their mission. And Jesus tells them to come on in, come on, come to a quiet place where you can sit down. And they would sit down and they would just tell the Lord, we did this, we did that, and we did everything. We healed the sick. We cured, we made the blind man see, and things of that nature. They did all of that. But while he was out on their mission, he told them, take nothing with you. Not even a purse or a scrip. Not even a change of clothes. Because that's a point in itself. Take nothing with you. This is a teaching moment. Why did the Lord say take nothing with you? Because somebody else is going to provide for you? Maybe. Because God is going to provide for all of us. He's going to put someone in a strategic place at the right time to provide for us. And it could be you, could be you, could be me, or whatever. But he already have the plan in place how he wants to take care of his own. 12, 2 by 2, went out. 12 came back, informed Jesus of what happened, how the people were treating him. Jesus also told them in the scripture, if they do not receive you, thus shake the dust off your feet and let it be a testimony against them. But that's not the point. It's a teaching moment for Philip. But look what Philip came up with. And I'm going to tell you what my idea came up with when I first seen this. Philip was talking about money. 200, what he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Now, they just went out on a mission. They came back. He gave them power. And Philip is talking about money. You know, we always talk about money. Money take care of everything. Money solve all problems? No, it don't. The Lord solves all problems. But Philip talks about money. But look what Andrew said. Andrew said, where is he at? I want to say number 7. And number 9, we're going to start at 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what is that among so many? 5 barley loaves put in and 2 fish put in the right hand, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish put in the right hand produce more than what you think. if it's put in the right hands for the right reason. It's a resource that the Lord could use. It is a resource that the Lord will use to multiply. It, when it's in the Lord's hand, it's not being subtracted. It's going to multiply. It's going to grow. And it's going to grow. If you notice here that it will grow as he blessed it. Because the first thing he did, he looked up to heaven. Well, we always look down when we get ready to pray. He looked up to heaven and thanked the Lord. Thank the Almighty. What? When we pray, we look down, you know. But he looked up. You ever notice that? We look down, but he looked up. You know why we look down? This is just my thought. This is just my personal opinion. I'm not worthy to look up. My sin nature, I'm not worthy, but my sins are forgiven. I'm not worthy. We look down, but he looked up. Here's a point. You remember the Pharisees? And I want to say, if was it Matthew? The tax collector, there you go. The tax collector. You remember the Pharisees, they was in the synagogue? And you had the tax collector, they was all praying together. The Pharisee looked over at the tax collector and said, Lord, I don't want to be like this man right here. But let me tell you something, the tax collector kept looking down because he knew he wasn't worthy. But God would bless him quicker than he would do somebody else that's trying to throw him under the bus. So my point of it is this. Why is it we continue to look down? Because maybe we don't feel like we're worthy. You see, some people, they raise their hands up. I'm worthy. Christ is the only worthy person that we have. Only worthy. And he looked up to heaven and he thanked God. Now the Jews have a requirement, this is what I read, that before you eat any food, you should give thanks to God. Amen? Amen. You should give thanks to God. So that's what Christ did. He gave thanks to God. And the miracle was in the breaking of the bread. Every time someone break it, it multiplied. It multiplied more and more and more. And he just handed it out to his disciples. He had 12 disciples. And Judas was in there somewhere. I'm saying, trying to say, well, no, wait a minute, where is he at? Judas? He should have been a believer after this. Where is Judas? How can we even put his name in here? Maybe he was standing over there on the side, didn't believe or whatever. But anyway, as he broke the bread, as he prayed over it, and he broke it, and he gave the baskets out, they kept going, kept growing, kept growing, and growing, and growing. But back to where I was with Philip. It was an opportunity that Philip missed. A great opportunity, because they just came back off a mission. They should have used their power. They still had power. You didn't have to send them away. He could have just said, Lord, we have 5 barley loaves. Lord, you can provide. Seemed like that's what he would have done. Lord, you can provide. I know you can. I seen you with the 4,000. What happened to the 4,000? You did it with the 4,000. Now we have 5,000. He forgot. Because he always had to look at something physical. Physical before he could believe. He had physical money, but he didn't have a barley loaf. Andrew came up with the suggestion where, Lord, we have 5 barley and 2 small fish. Two small fish, 5,000? I would have probably said the same thing. No, that's not enough. That's not enough for us to feed this whole congregation. We need some more. There are times that we get so bogged down to a point that we'll send out emails and things of that nature, modern day. And I'm not knocking anyone, but it just came to mind. How many of us is coming to the wedding? We need a head count. We need a head count. So you get your head count. Okay, this person can eat this much. This person can eat this much. And then we send out to the vendor and say, okay, this is how many come and this is what we need. And the vendor would coordinate or calculate how much they would need. And maybe they might have a little bit of leftover. They might be short. But you know what? Our God in heaven, he is never short. Never. In any and everything that he has done. But I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to show you some points about our God and how great he is. That his hand is never short. If you allow me just for a moment to grab my notes. In Numbers chapter 11, I don't know if you read this verse or not. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 21 and 23. And it reads, "And Moses said, the people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat." That they may eat a whole month. Verse 2. Then Moses said, "Shall flocks or herd be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall we all fish the sea together for them to provide enough for them?" Verse 23. Then it goes on to say, "And the Lord said to Moses, Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now shall you see whether they say what I say will happen to you or not." Y'all remember that story? If you don't remember the story, let me enlighten you. The Lord gave them all they want and more. All they want and more. And they ate. So there's nothing, once we ask God to do something for us, that he will not provide. But I will say this, do not be a gluttonous, because you have it coming out of your ears and out of your nostrils. There are others that the Lord have fed. The Lord have fed 100 men. Throughout the Bible, you'll find some of these stories in there. The Lord had fed 100. 2 Kings 4 and 42 and 42 through 44. And it reads as follows. This is 100 men. "Then a man came from Baal Shelish and bought the man of God bread and first fruit, 12 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, 'Give it to the people that they may eat.' But his servant said, what shall I set this before 100 men? And he said again, give it to the people that they may eat. For thus said the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. They shall eat and have some left over. According to the word of the Lord. Is the Lord's hand too short to provide for anyone? No. My point to you is this today. You may not have anything in your refrigerator. Your lights might be going out. You might have to turn in your car because you can't afford it to get to your job. You might lose some things along the way. But if you're right with the Lord, his arm is not short. He will provide. And my point is this. The Lord is a provider and he is a sustainer. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, back to Philip. My point is the Lord will provide for his people. And as we go on, verse 9, there is a lad here which has five barley loaves. And I want to tell you something about, I learned something about barley loaves while I was studying on this. Do you know barley is probably, barley bread is probably one of the most healthiest bread you can eat? Yes. It is said that it helps reduce your cholesterol. Kind of control your sugar level as well. Yes, look it up. Or I can get you a copy. So barley loaves was one of the best type of bread that you could eat. It also helps with your digestive system. It can make you not. It can make you not want an appetite. It'll kind of like, you know, like if you're hungry or something like that. It'll help with your appetite. That's what it says. So think about it. The Lord has always created something healthy for us, but we always want something else, and we always want to change it, add chemicals and things like that to it. These people were eating healthier than we were. A barley loaf, bread that they ate on a daily basis. So that's it about the barley loaf. That's my medical advice to you today. And so as they distributed, Jesus gave thanks, like I said. And we're going to move on down to verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragment that remain, that nothing be lost. Nothing be lost. Nothing be lost. 12 baskets. When I first, I already confessed it anyway to the Lord. When I first gave you this first time giving this in a sermon one time, this is what I said, and I'm totally ashamed. And I confessed to the Lord. I said, Lord, please forgive me. I thought the 12 basket was to go out to the 12 tribes. I really did. Instead of me studying the way I'm supposed to. I confess. I said, Lord, please forgive me. But then when I learned what it was for, I had to go back and correct it. I'd rather look stupid here than in heaven. I kid you not. But the purpose of that, just think about that. They had leftovers. Anyone know, you have any idea what the leftover represent? Anyone have any idea what that those 12 baskets represent? It means, and I'm not going to add anything to it. I'm going to tell you what I learned. I'm going to read it to you. It was a teaching moment for the disciples because Jesus is always teaching. And this is what it says. It says, though the disciples had trusted God to provide for their need, their individual need, on their brief mission when they went out, they didn't have anything. Remember, trust God. God will provide for your individual need. Then it goes on to say, the feeding of the multitudes teach them to trust him for greater. Hear what I'm saying? Greater needs. He can do far more and above and abundantly what you can ask. Then it goes on to say, it shows the disciples that when one uses his or her resource, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, to meet the need of others, God will surely meet their needs, as seen by the 12 baskets of food left over. It's showing them that you can trust God. Don't trust in your own self. Trust God. And you have leftovers. The 12 basket is a blessing. They have leftover for themselves. Each one of them have 12. 12 baskets. So it's a blessing that God is giving them over and above, abundantly, more than they can ask. And here's the kicker. It also proved that Jesus, deity to his disciples, that he is God. That's what it proves. Now, with that being said, we must always trust in the Lord to provide for us at times. Sometimes you might find yourself going out trying to do things on your own, and you might mess it up worse than what it is. So you must trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. So, here's another pointer. Jesus is God. He always knows what he's going to do. His omniscience. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew that young lad was going to be there. He knew he was going to take the barley loaves and the fish and turn it into a multitude of food and things of that nature. He knew. He knew what Philip was going to say. He knew what Andrew was going to do. He knew. He knows everything. He knows everything, and the only thing he is asking us to do is what? Ask. And it shall be given unto you. That's all you got to do. Just ask. And just remember, and I'm going to close with this. I'm 15 minutes short. I'm going to close with this. We had two different responses tonight from two of his disciples that walk with him daily, his inner circle. They should have known what he can do for them. Tonight, we also went over the Sea of Galilee. We should know why would the Sea of Galilee change to the Sea of Tiberia. We should also know the reason behind the miracle is that we should trust in God. That's the teaching point that Jesus, it's not feeding the 5,000. The teaching point is that we need to trust in him, not in ourselves. We know that if we give our resources to him, he will multiply. He will not subtract from it. Amen. We know that the Lord knows everything. We know that the Lord proved Philip. In the Bible said he tested him, but we know that the word said God does not test us with evil. James talks about that. We know that the 5 barley loaves was multiplied into extra amount of blessings. 12 baskets, each disciple's carrying his own basket, and it mentions that the basket that they carry is the one that they carry on their shoulder when they're moving things. When they have something in them, they're going from place to place. They have baskets like that. We know that those men, and here's the key, those men identified Christ as the chosen one that is supposed to come. The Messiah. We know that because they said right here in verse 14. And they say it is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. They knew that. And that's the greatest thing in the world. Your belief in Jesus Christ is what saves you. Believing in him. Because if you don't, you have a choice. If you believe in him, you have eternal life. If you don't, condemnation. Let us pray. Most gracious, most heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I hope something that was said that will help each and every one of us to understand your word and whatever was said, dear Lord. Dear Lord, I pray that we all become believers, even your chosen people, oh Heavenly Father, that they would just look in the Word. Matter of fact, they can look in Genesis chapter 49 and 10. It talks about you, who you are, and you are the one that have come into the world to save a sinner like me. So, Father, as we go on tonight, give us all traveling grace to and from our destination, and help us, O Heavenly Father, to lead those that are walking astray, those sheep that are lost. Like Jesus said, take up the fragments that we won't lose any, that they may use this, dear Lord, to bring those to you. In Christ Jesus, amen.